Some days are terrible. You wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Greetings, everybody. Congratulations on not taking your own life. Welcome to the voices in our buttholes. Just kidding, it's heads. I'm Christina Marie Hutchinson. I'm so honored to be the voice in your head. Did you know that full episodes are out on YouTube? YouTube.com/Slickback Studios?
That's correct. It's Slickback Studios.
Yeah, yes. I did it. So you can watch full episodes. Smash that like and subscribe button and help the podcast out. It's the best way to help the pod.
Leave some comments. That's very helpful. We are working on getting them more consistently and like getting them on a day.
Just get them on the YouTube mic. Shut up.
We're trying. Yeah. I think pretty soon, I think it's going to be later in the day on Mondays. So okay. keep an eye out for later in the days.
And hell yeah. Yeah.
We're doing a lot of stuff over here. We're trying.
Figuring it out. You got your own business. You got to grow it. No one's renting my apartment yet. Do you want to rent my apartment for the month of July? $4,000. DM me. At Christina Hutch. It's right on the water in front of staring at Manhattan. The 4th of July happens there, and the barges are right there. The northernmost barge you could just barely see from my window, so I'm not going to advertise it as you could have front row tickets to the fireworks. But the outdoor space, you can absolutely.
You're pretty close, though.
Oh, it's 4th of July at my place is absolutely incredible. That's how you know I'm broke. I'm like, I'll give that up for $4,000. Or sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. There's a $5 month level. And look, if you're broke, don't worry, girl, me too. So don't feel pressure. But if you're not broke and you want me to live. No, I'm just kidding. Who am I? My mother?
N-O. No.
That's right. I'm not. I'm me. Speaking of the Patreon, we had a great Zoom. So once a week I do group Zoom Sherapy. It's about an hour and a half, depending. There's never, I have a couple hundred people sign up for the Patreon, but there's never more than like 15 people max that show up, which is cool. Sometimes it's only a couple and I'm like, well, this is great. We could do deep dives, but there's a bunch of people that come pretty consistently and I just love getting updates from them. I'm a researcher of humanity, and I really love these Zooms, and I'm pretty good at giving advice. I do always preface it by saying, take everything I say with a grain of salt. My God, if something doesn't resonate, throw it out. Just because I suggest something you should do does not mean you should do it, okay? You're your own person, and you know what's best for you. And I know what's best for me. One day in the future, I will. Oh, boy. But we all share stuff and I always start us off just because I forget people aren't, necessarily completely comfortable sharing their innermost thoughts in front of a group of strangers. And I guess well, I don't get that, but it makes sense. That's healthy. So I always go first. And the thing that I shared this week was I'm so sick of looking at my phone and I think it's making me neurotic and it's making me. Like whenever I go into a restaurant and there's the whole entire family's on their phone and then the baby's on an iPad, no judgment because look, I don't have a baby. I don't know what it's like. I can't imagine how nice of a relief it is when the baby's screaming and you just give them a fucking iPad and it shuts the fuck up. That must be absolutely blissful. But it really gets to me. And so I've been trying to moments where I'm like, I've had enough. When I go home, like on Monday, I went home from Guys Who Fucked. I put my phone in a drawer. And then I just did all the stuff I had to do. And I was like, this feels way better. This feels way better. But speaking of phones, I was on my phone a lot all the time. And there's this post I wanted to share with you. It's from Structured Magazine. Guys, in France, there is a horse named Peyo that goes from room to room and visits terminal cancer patients. I'm already going to cry. Peyo chooses which patients he wants to see, sensing their terminal diagnosis. He then kicks his hoofs outside the door, alerting his trainer to let him go inside. Oh my God. Peyo works in the palliative center with patients who know they don't have very long to live anymore. And there's this quote, "We actually want to give patients at the end of their lives a life after all. We do this by creating, together with Peyo, a certain energy for the patients." And there's just these fucking, there's a picture of this fucking horse giving a guy a carrot mouth to mouth. And it's so beautiful. And I want American hospitals to have horses. Okay. When I'm president, all American hospitals will have horses. They'll be taken off the streets of New York City. They'll be plucked out of Central Park. They'll be their little hats will get taken off, and they'll be able to soothe cancer patients. Okay? That Christina for president. Also, it was suggested to me, you know, when speaking of the neuroses I was talking about, when I was looking at the phone, that I'm like, bleh! Somebody was telling me, like, schedule time to be neurotic. You know, if you're going through a breakup and you're like, this is too sad all the time and I can't handle it, schedule time in your day. Put it in your freaking calendar. I'm going to cry about the breakup from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 2, maybe an hour and a half is too long. Maybe you're indulging a little bit too long. I don't know. You tell me. You know what's best for you. But I'm like, oh, that's good. Scheduling time to be neurotic. And then that kind of makes you not want to do it. And then you're like, fuck, I'm cured. It was that easy the whole time? As I've been talking about the last couple weeks, I'm a broke bitch, but that's okay. I'm okay. I'm refinancing my life, and I'm working with this these money people. I don't even know what their title is. That's how unfamiliar I am with money.
Money people is the proper term, I think.
I hope so. Well, it is for me. And I had to send them all my bank statements, and they were going to do like a audit of sorts where they're like, this is how much you spend every month. And my normal attitude towards money, especially when I had a lot of it, was just to go, la, 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 la. Money doesn't ever go away. It grows on trees. Does it grow on trees?
No.
No, it doesn't. And so I've had to really come face to face with my demons. I get so much anxiety about money. There's a lot of anxiety I get about having money. I'm like, my parents they fucked me up in a lot of ways. I mean, they always had businesses that failed, and they didn't really, I mean, they did give it a good shot, but then sometimes they didn't. But yeah, I mean, no one's perfect. But they had perfect credit. I remember them always telling me they had perfect credit. They always paid bills on time. My mom, they stressed about money very openly to us, which, you know, don't do that, but whatever, it is what it is. And, you know, I guess maybe digging through my friend's trash in the middle of the night for shit to sell at a flea market fucked me up. I'm just now realizing that. That'll fuck you up, I guess. But I don't know where I got this. They both had perfect credit. They did not bestow any of their knowledge onto me, which was a bummer. And so sometimes when I have like a lot of money in my bank account, I feel so excited about it that I just spend it. And I forget that the balance goes down. And then when I start spending, I don't look at the balance. And I'm just like, it doesn't exist because it's still all there. Nope, it's not. So I was looking at all the stuff that I've purchased the last 6 months that are just fucking stupid. Just really, really, really stupid. One of them was a pair of Rugrats pajamas. I saw this pair of Rugrats pajamas on Instagram, and they make things so easy to buy on Instagram. And I love Rugrats. And I was like, I deserve these. $25 down the drain. Down the drain. But I do wear the Rugrats pajamas a lot, especially because I need to feel like that $25 went somewhere good. It did, still didn't, but I want to convince myself that it did. And then I'll sing the Rugrats movies theme song. You know that theme song? Take me there. I want to go there. And then I'm just singing Maya's verse last night. I'm like, sitting here thinking about yesterday. I fucking love that song. Oh, God, it's such a great song. Is that not the art you came here for? And another thing I bought, this is for the camera. Okay. This is a compliment to my EMF reader to detect ghosts. It's an REM pod EMT, programmable REM pod EMT. Oh, 30 bucks, guys. Fucking wasted it. 30 bucks. Includes temperature deviation detection and REM sensitivity boost.
For the listeners, it is a round cylinder.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a Roach Hotel. Is that fair to say? A little bit?
Yeah, an expensive Roach Hotel with an antenna on it that can detect
and ghosts.
Yeah. And so what it does is it detects temperature changes. Now, I spent a pretty 30 bucks on this because fucking was watching a video on YouTube about ghost hunting, and they're like, you got to get the EMF reader and the temperature detector. They work great in tandem. And I was like, oh, I got to get it. Jesus Christ. Please help me. I'm working with these finance guys, and I'm like, I told them when I emailed them, I was like, I emailed them my bank statements. I'm like, I gotta say something. There's a lot of shame with me and money, a lot of shame historically. Okay. Well, we're going to break through that. I need you to know, I know this is a bad situation, and you stick it to me straight, doc. Okay. So you could tell me I fucked up. I know I fucked up, and I should probably hear it from you. Because if I take money, you know, my parents gave me all these things back that I'd given to them, except the $500,000 that I put into their house. Mm. So it wasn't $500,000, but it's grown to hopefully maybe $500,000. And then after taxes, maybe it's $10. Ooh, fingers crossed. Fuck you, New York City. There's so many potholes. Why do I pay taxes? I wish we didn't have to. God, if I knew how to get an offshore account, fucking do it in a second. Oh, I do it. Because then I remember when I first started working in real estate, there was this one woman that was like, you have to pay. Like, she was just getting down on people that weren't paying their taxes. And I'm like, okay, but like, why? Yeah, I mean, I know why, but like, when they go towards things that aren't good, don't you not want to pay them, you know? And if you had a cheat code, wouldn't you use it? You fucking would. I would too. But yeah, so this is this REM pod EMT paranormal research instrument. And I had not used it because I was looking through some of my bank statements and I'm like, you fucking idiot. You fucking idiot. What,
you thought you were returning it?
No, I couldn't return it. I took it out of the wrapper. He can't return it. It's a ghost meter. And it's a guy invented it and he's proud of it. And it's all, no, I'm not going to return it. I'm going to eat my decision and I'm going to accept what I did. And I'm going to use tissues instead of toilet paper because I'm out of toilet paper right now. And it's okay. It's okay. But I realize, you know, this was one of the purchases and I'm like, I haven't used it yet. So fucking last night, I was crying so hard last night. And I was like, I guess I'll fucking use this ghost thing. And it's a temperature thing. So when I turn it on and I go near it, it beeps like crazy. But if I'm about, you know, 6 inches or farther away, it doesn't beep. And I was testing it. I'm like, oh shit, this is really good at testing heat. So I had it on my dresser in my bedroom as I fell asleep last night. And I was just praying for more money or a miracle or just to get by this period of time in my life because it's an educational period and I'm learning a lot of important lessons. Don't wait. Don't be wasteful. Be mindful with your money. All the lessons. All the lessons. Your girls fucking learn it. It's not fun, but it's happening. And so I was like, please. I never pray. The only times I pray are when I apply liquid eyeliner and when I drop my phone and it lands face down and I have to pick it up. I pray. I'm like, please, 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 God. Please, God. Yes. But I was praying last night. I guess there's a third time that I pray, and it's when I have negative $987 in my bank account, and I'm just like, "Please help me. I don't know, dude. Sorry, I never talked to you unless the shit's dire. But that's all of us, so give me a break. You know, God made money, so it can't be that bad, right? But I was like, just please. I need like a heal. There's like energy blocks. My energy feels fragmented. Like I just need. Get a healing or I don't know what you do. Whatever's on the menu, can I have it? And then like 10 minutes into me like really trying to fall asleep, this fucking thing goes off. And I was like, And it was all the way in the corner of my room, far, far away from me. And the AC was blasting in my room. So I'm like, it's probably not even going to work because it's so cold in my room. And it started going off. And I was like, I don't know what to do with that. And Now I'm freaked out. So go away. But like maybe and I turned it off and I'm like, but still heal me in my sleep. Okay. So I'm going to turn it on now. Okay. So now this is me because it's, you know, because I'm here, but then we'll see if it goes off. Whoop. Oh, now it's going off because it's, yeah. So we'll see. We might as well get some use out of this. You know, the EMF reader was going off like crazy when I took it here. This is a temperature reader. So we'll see. We'll see. Shut up, Mike. I got to do something. You know, I'm so close to starting an OnlyFans, but I'm like, I can't. It'll eat my soul. I'm not that kind of chick. I'm not a chick who could show her holes and feel a hole after that. I so commend the chicks who can. You were born with something that I was not. And goddamn, maybe I wouldn't be in this position if I was born with that chutzpah.
It would sure take care of that negative $900.
Oh, it would.
In an instant. Would.
Now, let me say this. There's some straight guys that listen. If you want to pick up my feet, well, let's negotiate. Feet, I don't give a fuck.
I've seen people leave comments on clips that we've collaborated on about your feet and stuff.
Really?
Yes. You've missed them?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably not paying as comments. Much attention. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gotta might be mindful of my soul, you know?
Yeah. But you're leaving money on the table, Christina.
Well, I am leaving money on the table. So look, hear me this. You can rent my apartment. Great apartment in Long Island City. Oh, Jesus. $4,000, I'll just tell you the price. I mean, it's a little less than what I pay with the parking and all that shit, but like, whatever. Because they raised my rent by $500 and the elevators work less. And everybody's moving out of my building because the elevators. And I'm like, okay. Normally I'm like, look, this is an opportunity to be patient. Okay, Christina, you're getting a gift right now. Be patient. But lately I've been so stressed about money, I'm just like kind of on edge a little bit. And when fucking elevators come, I'm like, oh, it's about time. And I'm like, ugh. I'm like, don't leak your energy, your shit energy onto other people. The elevators work. It just takes a long time sometimes. Okay. Don't let that deter you from renting my apartment for the month of July. At Christina Hutch on Instagram. Oh, fuck. You know, the webs we weave. I watched a documentary the other night on orca whales. And they're so sophisticated. Oh, my God. All these pods and families of orca whales have a unique language that the other orcas can't understand fully. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. What? That's amazing. And they have this beautiful way of living and these hunting strategies. They have hunting strategies that are specific to the pod that the grandmother whale will teach the baby whale. And then you watch them do it and you're like, what the fuck? This is incredible. And this gentleman named Brian Scarry, he's a photographer of orca whales. And he said, love, tenderness and family from one another. That's all we've got. He was talking about how like the lessons he's learned about life through photographing these orca whales. And I'm like, it just got me thinking because of the phone thing with human society. I'm like, what would it take to ruin orca whale society? Orca porn. All those male orcas, they'll just be jerking off alone in a corner in the ocean. They're not going to be having sex with their wives or their orca girlfriends they're just not going to be having sex. They're going to be unloaded all that semen into the ocean. Like, we need more shit to pollute the ocean. And then no one's going to get pregnant. And then all the whales are going to die. That just introducing orca porn. I don't know what that would look like. Maybe just like fucking Free Willy jumping over that kid. Hold me. But then I was like, wow, what, like, and then I was thinking last night, I was just really grasping for straws, that shit to think about that wasn't my financial situation. And I was like, what if somebody gave bees cell phones? Like, whatever a cell phone would be to a bee, you know, like social media or whatever. That would fucking, none of the worker bees would do their work. They'd just be like showing off their bee arms on Instagram trying to get likes. And then all the beehives would crumble. And then none of the flowers would get pollinated. And then all the foliage would die. And then we would eventually suffocate because there's no trees. You know? Those are the things I think about. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, there was an ouch quote that I found on Instagram that just made me go, ooh, that hurt. That hurt my soul. It's this woman, Candace, I guess is her Twitter handle. I'm not saying X, fuck you. She said, my therapist told me yesterday, some people, especially family, will choose to remember and recognize only the version of you that they held the most power over, no matter how long it's been or how much you've changed. And I can't stop thinking about that. Ouch, bitch. Now I can't either. That's a really good quote. That's a good ass quote. When you grow, some people don't like that. And that's sad and hurts my feelings a lot. Makes me very sad. I'm so sensitive, if you haven't noticed yet. When I was thinking back to when I got Kevin, because when I'm really stressed out and sad, Kevin is the best. It's the best. And I was trying to give myself little exercises to like change my vibration. Like I said last week, the week before, with that Esther Hicks conference, she was saying the same thing to everybody. Change your vibration, change your life. You can't go from fear and shame and depression, which is one of the lowest vibration feelings, to joy, the highest vibration feeling. You can't just go from depression to joy. That's not how it works. You got to go from joy to jealousy to rage to, and I'm like, ooh, okay, okay. Well, not from joy to jealousy, go from shame to jealousy. And it's like, oh, wow, these are really great. It's a great ladder to like get yourself out of a funk. And, but one of the things I always try to do to like raise my vibration is to try to use sense of humor. Like when I'm at home alone and I'm getting ready and I'm crying, I'm just, I try to like talk out loud and just say funny shit or like over exaggerate how sad and desperate I am in hopes that it will make me laugh. And a lot of times it does work, but lately it hadn't been working. So I was just trying to talk to Kevin and just, you know, just be funny to him. And it was very helpful. But then I was just reminiscing about the day I got Kevin, one of the best days of my life. And I remember when the lady gave me this little tiny mini wiener dog puppy. Oh, he was so cute. I held him and I just started bawling. And the first thing I said is, Kevin, I love you so much. We're going to die on the exact same day because we're never going to be without each other because you're going to live to 347 in dog years because we're going to die on the exact same day. And I'll get you doggy. I'll carry you around. You don't got to worry about it. I'll push you in a little stroller. And I'm sorry to everybody I judge for pushing their dogs in strollers because that's totally going to be fucking me because we're never going to be a day without each other. Woo! Somebody's unstable. It's fucking insane. I'm a nutcase. Hey, speaking of unstable, guess what it's time for? It's time for some fuckboy theater. All the unstable fuckboys in the world, there's a lot of you. How cubs stop procreating. I hope you get addicted to porn and all your sperm drains dry and you can't have a baby with a lady because we don't need another you. No offense. You're here to teach us, I bet, but I don't want to learn your lessons. Thank you for coming to Fuckboy Theater. We are going to be reading two conversations today. One is between a lovely woman who's probably a great person, probably votes, reads books, and a piece of shit named Ryan. Okay? It's between a lovely lady. This is a dating app conversation. This is Bumble because she talks first. She sends him a GIF of Rachel from Friends just making a little like crinkle in her nose. I'm assuming she just means like a hi. And then he says, he sends the hand waving emoji. And then he says, you're in Florida.
I am. Blushy emoji.
That's so far away. LOL. What are you doing there?
You know, just hanging out by the pool, avoiding other humans, flipping off Trump signs, the standard Florida things.
I respect it. Where? What are the chances that you'll show me your tits?
That rocks.
Fuck you, Ryan. Fuck you.
Okay, now this is a longer conversation. It's a little bit longer between a lady on Bumble who's probably just so self-actualized, works on herself, but has a great work-play balance. And a piece of trash from the garbage pound named James.
Hey, James, what is your favorite thing about you?
Oh, I was trying something.
Go ahead.
Awesome. That was terrifying.
Oh, you're doing it for his?
Yeah.
Oh,
let's
okay.
try it.
All right, let's try it. I like that. First, I thought I was like, is the ghost in the microphone? Jesus Christ. Why'd I buy the temperature detector? Fuck. Okay.
Go.
And I'll do this when it's James.
Okay.
Hey, James, what's your favorite thing about you?
I'll probably scare you off by saying, oh.
Oh, so mysterious. Go on, whisper it to me.
I like my dick.
That's great.
Ha ha.
It's so interesting how different people communicate online versus in real life.
Now it's about making it your fave thing. You'd be surprised. I'm pretty direct in person, too.
I believe you. And I could tell you're a Leo. Me, too. Fiery. Fire emoji.
Add forward, naughty, and dominant to that.
What kind of dominant?
Sexually.
No, I get that. But, like, in what ways do you enjoy dominating?
It's not an overtly intellectual endeavor.
Not sure I'm into that. I need a balance of tenderness and wild animal domination.
The cuddling would happen after. Once I had dominated your holes.
No, that wouldn't work for me.
Feel free to unmatch, if not your cup of chai.
Thanks for giving me permission.
You're welcome, feminist.
And scene. That was fucking hilarious.
Kind of good, right?
That was hilarious. That was a voice that I could never have imagined for James, and I'm so glad that you were here to help me with that.
Ah, James.
That's fucking, fuck you, James. You know what I mean? It's like my mom always said, why the fuck are you like this? Oh, I was thinking before we get into the mountain is you. Okay, so I'm working on a project, a book. That's why I was asking for your trauma blurbs a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't sent me one and you want to, please do. A couple sentences, but some of you guys sent long paragraphs. That's totally fine. I just have to whittle it down. So, you know, if you can whittle it down, great. But if not, you got to do backstory. Fuck it. An example that I would give for mine is like, I was raised in a house where my mom used suicide as a manipulation tactic. Whee! Farts, thumbs down, right? If you want to DM me at Christina Hutch, if I'm not following you, which probably not, that's okay. You can send me like a request for the DM. And I think you could say, I check all the request inbox. So send me the request. I will see it. At Christina Hutch, KRYSTYNA. Why is it spelled like that? No fucking idea. Literally a random choice. Okay. But I am a scholar of humanity and I'm so fascinated by concepts that make me uncomfortable. Clearly, I do stand-up comedy, so I try to push. I don't really push the comfort. I think comedy does a great job of like pushing people's comfort levels. I don't necessarily push as hard with my stand-up. I'm more like observing. But that's why I love the afterlife. I love the afterlife, and I love aliens because I'm like, these ideas are uncomfortable to think about for me. I don't know about y'all. But I'm not just like, yay, aliens, take me away. I mean, I am that too. But also like if an alien came down here and was like, hey, Christina, you ready to go? I'd probably shit my pants, you know? But I watch all these near-death experience videos online. They're so educational for me. And when you die, it seems to me, because I've watched hundreds of these and I exaggerate everything. I've watched hundreds of these. I watch them every day. And people are always like, you know, there's so much love when you get to the afterlife. You know, there's so much support and encouragement and in all, you know, you get a life review. Everybody gets a life review where you're shown the good things that you've done and how they affected you and how they affected the other person. You're also shown the bad things you've done and how they affected you and how they affected the other person. And I think about the people we deem bad in the world. An example that's appropriate to the times. Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, P. whatever the fuck your stupid ass fucking ass name is, okay? Whatever nickname you're picking this week. There was a video of him just beating the crap out of Cassie from years ago, and it was really tough to watch. It was so, And it made me want to strangle him slowly in front of everybody's ever loved, and it made my animalistic tendency of like, fuck you, die, came through in my brain. And it's fueled by a lot of things. The history of male violence against women, the amount of emails I've received from women all over the world who have gotten the shit beat out of them and, you know, managed to get their way out of it. But like, Jesus Christ, what a terrible, terrible thing. And there was all these allegations against P. Diddy of rape. And sexual assault is a really passionate, like, you know, thing about humanity that I want to spread awareness about and like really kind of boldly talk about it in a very frank way. So that was fueling my fuck you, P. Diddy, die. But then I was thinking, I'm like, who's going to love him? Who is going to love Sean? Because somebody has to love him. And I'm not saying somebody's obligated to love him. I'm like, he needs love because I'm willing to bet that absolute lack of love was how he got to where he is, to why he's taking those actions that he does. And fame's a mental illness, but lack of love. That's not an excuse in any way. But I'm like, wow, who has it in them to love him? Like some of the people in the near-death experience videos talk about seeing Jesus, which I'm like, that's fucking cool. Jesus was real. Cool. He's so hot. I didn't grow up religious, which I loved because then I got to pick what I believe, which is great. Reading about Jesus and stuff, I'm like, this guy seems pretty fucking cool. Like a really kind, like, you know, ahead of his time kind of motherfucker. And And a lot of people in these near-death videos, they talk about seeing Jesus. They're like, there was a being in front of me and I just knew it was Jesus. And they all say the exact same thing. Not every single person sees Jesus, because I think it also, whatever religion you are, the figure that you feel closest to is the one that's going to come to you. And they all describe the most loving energy that they didn't even think was possible. They certainly have never felt anything like that on earth, regardless of the type of life that they've had. And I'm like, Jesus would love P. Diddy for sure. And all the people in the world that have done things that we deem atrocious. Benjamin Netanyahu, somebody's got to love that motherfucker. It ain't me, but he needs love, because clearly he's misguided. Clearly. Okay? Stop killing motherfuckers. Okay? Please stop using our tax money to fucking kill people. Thank you. People don't deserve to die. Not even P. Diddy and not even Benjamin Netanyahu. But I was just thinking, like, who is there to love the worst people? And then I just got thinking about the jail system and how just, you know, all the rapists in the world, there's so many, but they need a hug, like a genuine hug. I don't feel comfortable giving them that hug. I wish I did. Maybe one day I will, but they do need love. And I get that some kids are just straight up born sociopath. I know enough people in my life that are teachers that are like, no, they can come out of the womb that way. I've seen it. And then they'll tell me stories and I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So it's not always nurture, or nature. It's just luck of the draw. But yeah, I was just thinking, like, who is brave enough? I don't know if that's the word, to love those people that we deem absolutely trash. I don't have an answer for that. I just wanted to pose it to the group. Okay, guys, we're going to be reading. I'm pretty sure this is the right chapter. Let me just fucking make sure. Yeah. Chapter 4. I'm going to be reading some words from chapter 4 of Brianna Wiest's The Mountain Is You. Transforming self-sabotage into self-mastery. That's how she says it. It's not how she says it. Also, I was reading a note. I was so desperate the other day, just so sad, just trying to just grasp him for straws. And I was like going on Audible and I'm like, I can't buy an audio. The amount of money I've spent on Audible is bad, and books, but I'm like, I can't take that back anyway, but you know, whatever. I love books. Sorry. The amount of GoFundMes of people's I've donated to, and I don't regret that, but I'm like, Christina, you're a little too generous with your money. But we're working on it. We're figuring it out. But there's one book that she, an audio book that was free, that I was like, I'll read this one because I don't have money. But it was, what was it called? The Human Element by Brianna Wiest. I think if you're an Audible subscriber, you can get that one for free. it's only 2 hours, but she talks about a lot of stuff, and she was talking about, fucking near-death experience she had. And I was like, that's why this chick's so wise. Okay. Oh, because she alluded to some things, and I'm like, wait, bitch, are you psychic? Wait, what's happening? Like, she had some, like, otherworldly things happen to her that she didn't dive into. I get why, because a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about it, I guess, which is, I mean, whatever. That's beyond. Just fucking talk about it. People aren't going to believe you. I believe you. Join my Patreon. Sign up for the $22 a month level and go on my Zooms and tell me about it. A guy was talking to me about the cool random magic psychic shit that happened to him this past week, and I'm like, this is great. I love this. It's a space to tell me you want to kill yourself, but it's also a space to talk about these psychic powers that you're developing. Both are important. But yeah, she was talking about this free book. It was really good, but she was just talking about how, she had these experiences as a child where she, like, left her body. And she talked about having sleep paralysis, which I don't have. If I had, you would hear from me about it. But a lot of people have messaged me saying they get sleep paralysis and that it's terrifying. She was talking about, she's like, yes, it's very terrifying, but she learned how to control it. And she would just, like, go to another realm, similar to how people describe when they medically die. And I was like, damn, boo, teach me your ways. Okay. All right. We're going to read some stuff from chapter 4, Building Emotional Intelligence. Give me some of that. Self-sabotage is ultimately just a product of low emotional intelligence. Damn it, I thought I was smart. To move on with our lives in a healthy, productive, and stable way, ooh, stable, I'll take it, we need to understand how our brains and bodies work together. We need to understand how to interpret feelings, what different emotions mean, and what to do when we are faced with big, daunting sensations that we don't know how to handle. That was me yesterday, the day before that, and the day before that. We are going to specifically focus on aspects of emotional intelligence that relate to self-sabotaging behaviors. Though there is an incredible body of work on emotional intelligence from experts around the world that is continually growing with time. What is emotional intelligence? Great question. Emotional intelligence is the ability to understand, interpret, and respond to your emotions in an enlightened and healthy way. People with high emotional intelligence are often able to better get along with different types of people. I mean, that I got. Oh, I can get along with any motherfucker. The worst of them. Let me at them. We're going to bond. The saddest motherfuckers, the angriest motherfuckers, I'll get along with you. If I have a heads up that you're like that and then I come into it, I'll get along with you. I can connect. Oh, I can connect. So in that department, I'm good. People with high emotional intelligence are also able to feel more contentment and satisfaction with their everyday lives. Cut to me staring at a lemon crying because it's so beautiful. And consistently take time to process and express their authentic feelings. That's where I go wrong. Mostly though, emotional intelligence is the ability to interpret sensations that come up in your body and understand that they are trying to tell you something about your life. The root of self-sabotage is a lack of emotional intelligence, because without the ability to understand ourselves, we inevitably become lost. That's me, baby. These are some of the most misunderstood aspects of our brains and bodies that inevitably leave us stuck. Your brain is designed to resist what you really want. That is fucked up. Why, God? Why gotta play us like that, God? Come on, man. We're set up to fail. Something interesting happens in the human brain when we get what we want. When we imagine what goals we want to achieve, we often do so with the expectation that they will elevate our quality of life in some tangible way. Yeah, like getting fucking money. It will elevate my life. You can't argue that. And once we have arrived at that place, we will be able to coast. Coast as in let go, relax into life, let things be for a while. That's not what happens. Neurologically, when we get something we really want, we just start to want more. This is fascinating. New research in the Nature of the chemical dopamine, which was previously believed to be the driving force behind desire, lust, and acquisition, proves that it is more complex than previously thought. In The Molecule of More, Daniel Z. Lieberman explains that experts who studied the hormone found that when an individual was introduced to something they highly desired, the dopamine surge would diminish after acquisition. Dopamine, it turns out, is not the chemical that gives you pleasure. It's the chemical that gives you the pleasure of wanting more. No, no, no. Don't like that. Don't fucking like that. Don't like that in any way. Skip around. You don't change in breakthroughs. You change in micro shifts. Ugh. And just the thought of that gives me the heebie-jeebies, because your girl wants a quick fix and I want it now and I want it to stick and I want it to be really intense. If you're stuck in life, it's probably because you're waiting for the big bang, the breakthrough moment in which all your fears dissolve and you're overcome with clarity. Yes, Brianna, that's precisely what's happening. The work that needs to happen happens effortlessly. Ooh, that sounds fun. Your personal transformation rips you from complacency and you wake up to an entirely new existence. Yes, please, I'll have one of those. That moment will never come. That fucking sucks. But you know what? Truth hurts. Breakthroughs do not happen spontaneously. They are tipping points. Revelations occur when ideas that were sitting in the margins of your mind finally get enough attention to dominate your thoughts. These are the clicking moments, the moments that when you finally understand the advice you've heard your entire life. And then that made me think of the one, my dad, he gave me this fantastic piece of advice that he was just dead on with. And he's been saying it to me ever since I was a little girl, fucking three probably. He's like, Christina, just take a second before you talk to think. Just 1 second. And I was always like, Dad, you're limiting my self-expression. I didn't know those words yet, but like I was like, what I'm expressing myself. You know, he was right. You were right, Dad. Sorry, you were right. The moments when you've habituated yourself to a pattern of behavior for long enough that it becomes instinctive. A mind-blowing singular breakthrough is not what changes your life. A micro shift is. Breakthroughs are what happen after hours, days, and years of the same mundane, monotonous work. That sounds terrible. But a mind-blowing singular breakthrough is not what changes your life. A micro shift is. As writer and media strategist Ryan Holiday has noted, epiphanies are not life-altering. It's not a radical moments of action that give us long-lasting permeating change. It's the restructuring of our habits. The idea is what science philosopher Thomas Kuhn dubbed a paradigm shift. Kuhn suggested we don't change our lives in flashes of brilliance, but through a slow process in which assumptions unravel and require new explanations. It's in these periods of flux that microshifts happen and breakthrough level change begins to take shape. Think of microshifts as tiny increments of change in your day-to-day life. A microshift is, this is great. This is great because I don't know how to microshift. I only know how to macro, XL, uber large shift. A microshift is changing what you eat for one part of one meal just one time. That's wild to me because I'm like, that's not going to fucking do shit, you know, but it will. Then it's doing that a second time and a third time before you even realize what's happening. You've adopted a pattern of behavior. Now, this is a good one. Your mind is anti-fragile. Is your brain the greatest antagonist in your life? Is irrational fear at the core of the majority of your greatest stressors? Uh-huh. Do you have a hunch? Do you ever have the hunch that you're almost seeking out problems, creating issues where they don't exist, overreacting, overthinking, and catastrophizing? If you said yes to these, congratulations, you're self-aware. Yay, well, that's good. Compliment me more. You're also just like anybody else. Oh, fuck you. All right, and then this one section I want to read that feels really offensive. Okay, how do I overcome adjustment shock? Okay, this shit's crazy because I was talking about like when I have money, I get so anxious, I just spend it all. Because I'm like, what's going to happen? What? That makes no sense. How do I overcome adjustment shock? When something positive happens in your life, you are going to have to adjust your mindset about other things to create alignment and a new, more accurate and sustainable perspective. If you have any anxiety about having more money, who, me? Uh-huh, yep, it's me. You will need to learn how to manage it better. No shit, Brianna, I'm fucking trying. If you have anxiety about relationships, yep, got that too. You will need to learn to relate to others like you never have before. I'm freaking trying, man. Your big life change is going to force you to level up in every way imaginable. And the way to overcome the initial fear of stepping into the unknown is to familiarize yourself with it, to make it part of you and one that you are certain you are prepared for and that you deserve. Ooh, that's word scary. And now this section feels real personal. Psychic thinking isn't wisdom. Ouch. When we talk about psychic thinking, we are not referring to the palm reading, neon sign advertised occultist professionals you can hire to evaluate your energy and predict your future. Well, that's good because I'll use them when I get more money. No, I won't. I won't spend more money on them, but I'll just, you know, meditate, I guess. Psychic thinking is far more insidious than that. Psychic thinking is assuming you know what somebody else is thinking or what they intend to do. Oh boy, that's just the fucking, that's me. That's me all the time. It is assuming that the least likely outcome is the most viable outcome because you feel it most strongly. That's what we were talking about yesterday about when you feel something, that's not a reason to make a decision. That blows my mind. That's crazy. That is not how I've been operating at all this entire time. It is believing that you have missed out on another life, a path you did not choose, that you were possibly more meant for. It is believing that the person with whom you have the most electric connection is your most ideal life partner. Of course, the way other people see us is dynamic. Their thoughts, feelings, and intentions are largely, if not entirely, unknown to us, which is crazy because I feel like I do know what other people are thinking, but maybe not. The least likely outcome is just that, the least likely outcome. There is no such thing as the path we could have taken, only a projection of our needs and desires onto another fantastical idea of what our lives might be. Damn it. Electric connection is not soulmateship. That blows, dude. That blows. I don't believe that. Love and compatibility are not the same thing. That's wild, man. That's fucking wild. Psychic thinking detaches us from reality. In place of logic, we put emotions, ones that are often incorrect, damn it, unreliable, and wholly biased towards what we want to believe. Damn it. Beyond being inconveniencing, psychic thinking is absolutely terrible for your mental health. Fuck, because that's what I do a lot of the time. Psychic thinking breeds anxiety and depression. Yeah, no shit. It's not just that something scares or upsets us. It's that we believe that the thought must not only be real, but predictive of future events. Instead of feeling like we are having a down day, psychic thinking makes us assume we are having a terrible life. We heard trust yourself and then began to liken ourselves to oracles. This feels so personal. That when a particularly triggering thought or feeling passes through us, it must indicate something more to come. Damn it, it doesn't, huh? It fucking doesn't, dude. Indeed, psychic thinking as a whole has begun taking on an entirely new light because of the popularity of pop psychology dating back to the 50s and 60s. Trust yourself, the gurus tell you. Deep down, you know the truth. No, I fucking don't. This is valid. Your interests are, your intestines are literally connected to the stem of your brain. The bacteria in your stomach respond to subconscious intelligent awareness faster than your mind can. Okay, well, then there's something to that. That's why your gut is indeed correct on instinct. But when this advice is given to people who cannot differentiate a gut feeling from fear or a passing thought that has no bearing on reality or their lives as a whole, it becomes a dangerous practice in which they become completely stuck and limited because they assume their random feelings are real. And then not only real, but a prediction of what's to come. Psychic thinking is nothing more than a series of cognitive biases, the most prominent of which are the following. Confirmation, and she gets into that. I don't want to get into that. Let's just read this last little section. Faulty interferences are holding back from success. Oh my God, tell me what's wrong. Fuck me up. Oh, this is, okay. I'll end on this. Ugh. I got to call myself out, you know? Worrying is the weakest defense system. Rumination is the birthplace of creativity. Really? Well, fuck yeah. I should be creative as hell then. They're controlled by the same part of the brain. That's the neurological reason there's a stereotype about depressed creatives. Any artist will tell you that the toughest times in their lives inspired the most groundbreaking work. I mean, yeah. Where's my ground? Well, the book, maybe. What they won't tell you, though, is that crisis is not necessary to function. That's true. Well, of course it's not, you're thinking. Oh, yeah, I am. Called me out. Crisis is the worst case scenario. And yet how many of us place ourselves in a state of panic over fear of that less likely scenario coming true? How many of us, in an effort to shield ourselves from panic, actually create a crisis out of fear each day? Fuck me. We're not just masochists. We're wildly intelligent, unconsciously functioning beings. Our brains understand something. If we imagine our worst fears, we can prepare for them. Oh. If we mull them over again and again, we can feel protected in a way. If we are ready for the storm, it can't hurt us, except it can. Bummer, dudes. Worrying excessively is not a malfunction. You are not a lesser character because you can't just stop and enjoy life. Worrying is a subconscious defense mechanism. It's what we do when we care about something so much. We are equally terrified that it could hurt us, so we prepare to fight for it. Oh, that hurts. What is the exact opposite of your fear? Money. That's what you want. Yep, I do want money, yes. That's what you want so much that you go to the ends of your sanity to defend it. Well, I have limits. No holes. There's nothing wrong with you for thinking this way, but there's also nothing wrong with you for being ready to move in a new direction. The reality is that worrying does not protect us in the way that we think it might. We cannot beat fear to the finish line. Worrying sensitizes us to an infinity of negative possible outcomes. It shifts our mindset to expect, seek out, and create a worst case scenario. If a crisis were to occur, we'd start panicking because our brains and bodies had been preparing for this epic war for a long time. Just thinking all the people that stormed the Capitol. Had we not premeditated these fears so excessively, we wouldn't be as impacted were they to actually happen. Huh. That's wild. That's wild. We'd see the situation for what it is and respond accordingly. Again, wild. That's where the nasty cycle forms. Once we worry ourselves sick over something that is totally delusional and it doesn't happen because, of course, it was never going to happen, we start to associate worry with safety. See, I thought this through so many times that I've avoided it. But that's not what's happening at all. Just telling someone to stop worrying and be present strengthens their impulse to be fearful. That's true. It really does. Because you are effectively asking them to place their guards down. Making yourself far more vulnerable when you are already on your edge is not the answer. Instead, you have to find a different way to feel safe. Rather than spending your time rehearsing how much you'd panic if such and such a situation were to come to fruition, you guys have no idea how many ideas. The amount of times I've reenacted scenarios in my head between me and the people I love, and I'm just like battling them and I'm standing up for myself about something they didn't even fucking do is crazy. Do you know how many clips I could have edited in that time? Imagine how a third party would handle it if they were in your shoes. Imagine getting to the other side of the issue, perhaps even treating it as an opportunity to create something you otherwise couldn't. Rather than spending your time shrinking yourself and your life out of fear of potentially confronting some kind of hardship, work on developing your self-esteem and know that even if you were to fail, you won't be judged, exiled, or hated in the way you fear.
I don't know.
Rather than spending your life trying to identify the next thing to worry about and then overcome, learn to move into a new pattern of thinking in which you recognize that you don't need to balance out the bad with the good to live a full and fair life. Stability and wholeness, health and vitality are your birthright. Seriously? That's crazy. You're allowed to have everything you want. Are you fucking joking right now, Brianna? Shut the fuck up. That's crazy. You are permitted to be at peace. Worrying is so primal in the way that it fulfills a deep need within us to feel as though we've conquered. Ugh, that's a man thing. And thus are protected and saved. Yet at the same time, our discomfort with it is a higher aspect of ourselves, informing us that it isn't necessary. And in fact, it's holding us back from the people we want to be and are meant to be. That's a better way for you to feed your emotional hunger. And it's not fighting for yourself. It's not fighting. I'm going to redo that sentence again because it's the last sentence. I can't end on that. That's a better way to feed your emotional hunger. And it's not fighting yourself for your own inner peace. Guys, are you not moved by Brianna Wiest's words? Get her book if you have money, but sign up for my Patreon also. Guys, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. Life doesn't have to be hard, which is wild, but we're going to embark on it on an easy, beautiful, peaceful, abundant, money-filled life together, okay? Love you lots. Thank you for listening to the voices in our heads.